All my life, I had been looking for something, and everywhere I turned, someone tried to tell me what it was. I accepted their answers too, though they were often in contradiction and even self-contradictory. I was naive. I was looking for myself and asking everyone except myself the questions which I, and only I, could answer. It took me a long time and much painful boomeranging of my expectations to achieve a realization everyone else appears to have been born with, that I am nobody but myself. And that was said by Ralph Ellison. Welcome to Surviving the Matrix, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Maxwell Egan. It's a pleasure to be with you once again, and I'll be your host for the next hour.
The realization that you are nothing but yourself is truly one of the most crucial turning points in the lives of each of us, that moment of realization. Because when you realize it about yourself, you also realize it about other people. And you realize that though we are not all born equal, because we are not all born with equal talents or equal abilities, or even with equal health or equal use of all of our bodily parts, we are most certainly all born with equal standing, inasmuch as it doesn't really matter whether you are as physically fit or talented as the person next to you. The point is that you have equal value, equal standing. You are just as worthy as everybody else, and you have just as much right to be here and to have the same right to life and liberty and freedom of expression as everybody else. There is no one who controls you. There is no one who owns you. There is no one who is able to rule over you, command you, or force you to do anything that you are not willing to do, because we were all born with equal standing. This negates the validity of leaders or rulers or people who inflict themselves upon you. And you begin to see that the only way these self-styled rulers are able to inflict themselves upon you is through the use of force, because of the people that they have employed who are programmed into believing the system is real. And that becomes the difficult part, folks, figuring out how to break down the programming in these people. But essentially what you begin to realize once you see the reality of yourself, you begin to see the reality of other people, and you do begin to see that we are born with equal standing and no one has any right to control anybody else. And this is true regardless of race or creed or color or religious or ethnic backgrounds, all of which are constructs, I suppose, except for the color. I mean, I suppose people are different colors, but it's kind of irrelevant what color your skin is, and it's irrelevant what type of human you are, whether you are Caucasian, Negroid, Mongoloid, Oriental, Australis. It doesn't matter, really. Ultimately, we are all just people. There is no one group of people that have been specially chosen to be better than anybody else. All of those sorts of things are, in fact, man-made constructs and man-made ideas that have been foisted upon the rest of the world. Unfortunately, many people have chosen to believe them, but again, this is a choice that people make, though, of course, many of these choices are forced upon the people through indoctrination into a particular belief system. And really, that's where the problem lies, because by adopting these belief systems, we begin to associate ourselves with a particular man-made construct, and we tend to forget that the true fact is that we are actually nobody but ourselves. Of course, there are many religious belief systems that would tell you otherwise, and that is the purpose of religious systems, is to keep you divided from the people around you, to keep you believing that if you belong to one particular sect, then you have been chosen by God, and you are better than the other people around you. And this is true of virtually all religions, folks. All religions are basically supremacist ideologies that are designed to lead people away from a path of true spirituality, to lead them away from themselves, and to lead them away from the creator of life, and enslave them to the concept of a patriarchal, judgmental God that rules them with an iron fist and judges them on how much they served him at the end of their lives. Which is, of course, a completely ridiculous concept, folks, to have a creator that was so harsh, self-absorbed, demanding, racist and judgmental as the one we are given as the patriarchal father of creation is, of course, absurd, folks. I mean, all religious concepts are absurd, and all of them ultimately lead you away from ever finding yourself. They disconnect you from the planet. They disconnect you from yourselves. They disconnect you from the people around you, and they basically infect the minds of people who go down these paths. And once people have been subject to religious programming at an early age, it is very, very difficult for them to break free of that programming. And I can hear all the programmed people out there screaming their Hail Marys and waving their Bibles at me now, but well, that's just the way it goes, folks. Unfortunately, you've all been deceived. And if you really look into the basis of all religions, you will find out that this is very, very true. Even the concept of a patriarchal father God who was able to create without a consort is absolutely absurd, because life is given by the female. But the thing is, religious programming does run very, very deep. Anybody who talks about Satan is running religious programs, folks. People claim they have nothing to do with religion, and yet they claim the basis of our problems is Satanism and black magic, which is a Roman Vatican religious program. So it's very interesting seeing how much people contradict themselves. And even the concept of things being held in place through Satanism and black magic creates an air of hopelessness around a situation, as if there's nothing we can do against anything so powerful as this deep, dark, satanic force. But the deep, dark, satanic force is a man-made construct, folks. It's fiction. There is most certainly a predator mind, but there is no deep, dark, satanic force. There are certain energy rituals that take place, but it has nothing to do with Satanism. But the problem is that things are often so bad and so hard to explain in our world that things such as Satanism give people very, very useful constructs to point the finger at, so that they have someone to blame, and so that they don't actually have to do anything to improve the world around them, because there's nothing they can do against a force which is so powerful and so all-pervasive, and so they may as well just forget about it and get on with their lives. And that is exactly the attitude that this type of religious programming is designed to create, because it is that attitude that allows the continuation of the corrupt and dysfunctional system that currently enslaves humankind. And plus, there is also the apathy that is created by that type of belief system, because all of the people involved in these religious systems are all waiting for some supernatural figure that is external to themselves to magically appear and save the world. There's nothing they can do, and there's nothing they have to do, because the savior and redeemer of mankind will soon arrive to save them. And of course, they all believe that because they have been devoted to the religious construct they have given themselves to, then they are worth saving, even though they have failed to pay attention to the world around them and have allowed the world around them, by their own inaction, to fall into the state of disrepair that it's currently in. These people still believe that they are worthy of salvation. And that's something that I really do find amazing, folks. With all religious systems, even the New Age religious system, people who believe they are worthy to ascend to fifth dimension, when they have failed to care for the third dimension that they are currently in and have allowed freedom in this world and life in this world to reach its current state of degradation precisely due to their own inaction. I do find it truly remarkable, folks, that people who have failed to address the world at all actually believe that they are worthy of salvation. It just never ceases to amaze me. And of course, if you ever suggest any of this type of reality to people, they will start stomping and shouting and pointing at their Bible and screaming out religious passages to you, just as they've been programmed to do.
And they get very irate about it as well, because you are challenging their belief system in such a factual and realistic way that the only choice they have is to fanatically oppose your idea. And it's very interesting, folks, watching how fanatical people get over religion as well, because fanaticism is simply an attempt to reinforce their flawed belief system. People who are fanatics because their belief is so frail that it needs constant reinforcement from themselves. But of course, they often don't realize that as well, because to realize that would mean to take responsibility for the situation and to step into your own power and to start exercising your own power and your own free will. And of course, stepping into their own power is the one thing that truly does seem to terrify modern man. It's much easier to blame other people, isn't it, folks? It's much easier to point the finger and say it's their fault, he's a bad man, and rant and rave and scream and shout and stomp and point, and to feel like you've actually done something by doing all of those things, then to go home and say, yes, yes, I made a difference today. Well, actually, you didn't. All you did was shift blame, step away from your personal power, and allow the world to fall further into disrepair and allow the matrix to continue. But I think it's time we woke up to it, folks, because ultimately, really, if you step back and look at the world, one thing becomes obvious, and that is that there's a bunch of psychopaths running the place, and they continue to do so simply because we let them. And the reason we let them is because we are kept so divided from each other by the constructed belief systems that these rulers have given us to lead us away from ourselves. And I just find it amazing how willing people actually are to buy into such disempowering and false belief systems. And sure, folks, we do have psychopaths running the planet. We do have people who are self-styled rulers and self-styled leaders who force themselves and force their will upon the rest of the people. But the point is that they get away with it because we let them get away with it, and the sole reason for that, really, is because we don't understand our personal power, we don't understand what we are, and we are all kept divided from each other, usually by the belief systems that have been given to us by somebody else. And that's the thing, folks, is that people just don't seem to question where they get their belief systems from. Did we come up with our beliefs ourselves, or have we taken on someone else's belief? Because that's what we tend to do. That's what our society is based on. That's what all religious ideology is based on. It's someone else's belief system. And all religions are supremacist belief systems, all of them. And it's really shocking, folks. And when you look at the world and you look at the history of the world and you see how these religious belief systems have been used to justify all manner of injustice, then it becomes obvious what these systems are. And the fact that the whole world seems to be backwards, folks, it really does. But the amount of injustice and inhumanity and murder and bloodshed and outright genocide that's been carried out against people in the name of religion is absolutely shocking, most especially in the name of the Christian religion. And I know that might be a shocking thing for Christian people to look at, but it's true. And you could say, oh, well, it isn't actually the Christian religion. It was these people who were fanatical and they weren't following the doctrines of Christianity. But these people were the church folks. This was the Roman church. This was our religious leaders, our political leaders. Just recently, we've got religious leaders in America calling for a nuclear strike against Iran. What sort of religious leader would call for a nuclear strike against another country? You've got the religious leaders in Iran saying, we don't want nuclear weapons. We consider nuclear weapons to be an abomination against God, an abomination against the Creator, an abomination against life, and we don't want them, nor do we respect their use. And yet you have so-called Christian religious figures calling for a nuclear strike against Iran. And all the people who say, well, all of these terrible things were carried out by leaders that weren't actually Christians, it makes no difference, folks. It was done in the name of Christianity. The point here being that the flawed views of reality instilled and indoctrinated into people by Christianity and the mistaken and misguided concept of the Savior and Redeemer is the type of doctrine that produces people that would do such things. I mean, just look at history, folks. The Dark Ages. 1,000 years of torture, bloodshed, and depravity. the Spanish Inquisition. All of these things were carried out in the name of Christianity. And you can take it further, the illegal war against Afghanistan, the bombing of Iraq. All of these things were done from staunch Christian governments who believed that God was on their side and God wanted them to go and murder thousands upon thousands upon thousands of people. I mean, how can these people be considered sane in any way, shape or form? And if they're claiming that what they are doing in the name of the God of the Bible, then I can only assume that the God of the Bible is an insane, ego-driven, genocidal maniac. And people need to wake up to what they've been indoctrinated into. Because what they've been indoctrinated into by the Christian Bible is racism, genocide, apathy, and a system that allows by its very existence the perpetuation of evil in the world today. And the evil that is perpetuated by the Christian religion is done so via the attitude of non-participation that has been instilled into its many misguided and misled followers. And that may seem pretty harsh, folks, but really that's the way it is. If you look at the world, that's what you see. You see every manner of injustice has been carried out against the people of foreign nations in the name of Christianity. And something else that I think people should notice, which is actually very telling, is that you also see nothing but massive injustice carried out against the people of the West in the name of Christian governments. The massive amount of injustices that are carried out here in Australia by so-called Christian leaders, and in every Western country, it just becomes so obvious, folks. So I don't know how people can't wake up and smell the coffee and see what's going on. And we really have to take the matter in hand, folks. We've got to rein this system in. We've got to rein these governments in. We can't do what they say anymore. The people of the planet really have to stand up and be counted. They really do. And if they will not stand up and be counted, then they need to be held accountable for the atrocities that they are allowing to be performed in their name in the world in which they live. This beautiful planet that we are so connected to, we need to pay attention, folks, and we need to shift things, and we really need to stand up and start making some noise about it in as public a way as we possibly can. We have to wake up to ourselves, folks, and people need to understand that if you are following any religious leader, if you're following a local minister or a local pastor, if this minister or religious figure is calling for a military strike against Iran, then he is not a Christian. He is not following the path of any God. He's simply a psychopathic, sociopathic moron who you need to distance yourself from as much as possible. But you also need to inform him of his lack of intelligence, his moronic attitude, and his genocidal views of the world. And you also need to inform him that even under the eyes of the tyrannical God that he claims to serve, he is an abomination. Because anybody who seeks death or destruction against anybody is an insult to life and has no place as a leader of anybody. And in making a statement like that, the truly noticeable and very unfortunate reality is that that type of attitude describes most of the Christian religious leaders in the world today. Because most of them only appear to be Christian on the surface, and most of them indeed harbour some very, very dark, very psychopathic, very sociopathic, and very, very disturbing energy. I mean, what happened to the world, folks? What happened to our civilization? What happened to our society? What happened to America? What happened to that American spirit, the spirit of America, that spirit of freedom that was America, that was the founding of America? What happened to that? Why would America want to go out and bomb other countries? Why would the people of the country believe the rubbish and misinformation that's fed to them by a controlled media that calls for the bombing of other nations? How can you go and bring peace to the world by carrying out war against it? How can you go and bomb other countries that have never attacked you and haven't attacked anybody in the last 200 years like Iran and call it creating world peace? How can people be so misguided that they can't actually see what's going on here? Why can't people understand that the biggest threat towards freedom in the world today is Western governments? That's it, folks. All you've got to do is look at history. Look at the history since World War II. 270-something conflicts since World War II. More wars than in Earth's recorded history prior to that point. Ever since we created the United Nations, the platform for freedom and justice, we've had nothing but war and injustice in the world. And people go along with it because they're fed all this crap by the media that they just buy into. Oh, it must be so. The television said so. And they trust their leaders, even though the leaders of their country do everything they can to dispossess the people. We're seeing it here in Australia, folks. We're seeing a massive dispossession of the people. The cost of living is escalating astronomically, and more people are being dispossessed. Julie Gillard's just building new prisons, all private prisons being run by Serco, of course. And so they bring in new legislation in order to create more criminals so they can populate their new prison system, because after all, they need to provide the private company that's running the prison system with enough clientele to run a viable business now, don't they? And that's what it's all about, folks. The human experience has been reduced to commerce in so many ways. And now even the human beings themselves, the chattels of the system, are being used as fodder for private companies to profit from. And that's what the private prison system is all about, and that's what all these new ridiculous pieces of legislation are all about. People are receiving fines because they park with one wheel a little bit over a white line on the park. People are being fined because they leave their windows down in their car. What is this? It's my car, I can leave my windows down if I like, and if you're claiming otherwise, then show me that you have a right of ownership over me or my car. Who are you people? What gives you the right to use this system that we created and put in place and populated with public trustees to act in our interests? What gives you the right to use that system as a system of enslavery against me? I consider this to be a gross abuse of power and a gross breach of trust. I mean, that's the way the whole thing needs to be approached. But people just won't approach it that way. And so it continues. But folks, if people would simply wake up and smell the coffee and realize the power that they have to affect positive change, we could change things overnight. The problem is that people just won't unite. People won't stand up and hold these public trustees accountable for their actions. And that's what needs to be done. People just continually allow themselves to be led down rabbit holes. And if there is anything that looks like it's going to unite the people, then the government shills and the people with vested interests in maintaining the fight all come out of the woodwork and they say, no, 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 this is the new world order. We all hate the old system and we hate the old world order, but we refuse to do anything to change it because if we do, it must be the new world order. And we're in fear of that as well. People are so caught up in the fear of exercising their own power that it just goes from the sublime to the ridiculous. It really does. And the amount of disinformation and government shills and self-vested interests that people have in maintaining the fight in the so-called truth community is absolutely astonishing. And I'm sick to death of seeing these sociopathic morons trying to sell you land on their property to come and build a community on their property, or sell you this or sell you that, or charge you $300 to go to their seminar or whatever it is they want to do. Because they all have a vested interest in maintaining the fight. They all want to sell you their DVDs. They all want to sell you their products. They all want things to continue just the way they are. They want to keep you in fear and prevent you from ever, ever uniting for a common cause and standing in the power that you have. Because ultimately there's nobody to follow, folks. There's no movement you need to join. All you have to do is know what you are and stand in that. Because this system is fiction. The concept of money is fiction. We don't need money. People out there saying, oh, yes, it's all this and it's all that. And we need to do this. We need to have value for this and value for that. Bullshit. We don't need any of it. It's fiction. We have a world of abundance, and we could be living in a state of abundance if we would simply respect each other and get along with each other. And I'm really getting sick to death of seeing the amount of division and seeing the amount of misinformation that's presented to the people by sociopaths who present themselves as all-loving and all-knowing when really they are programmed into Vatican spells and Vatican belief systems, people enslaved to word magic, people enslaved to the written word, people enslaved to their own disempowerment, people always looking for a leader, wondering when someone is going to step up and flick the switch so that the world is suddenly okay for them. Anything, as long as they don't have to participate in their own salvation. Anything, as long as they don't have to participate in any positive change. They just want to sit back and watch YouTube clips and see someone save the world for them. They're all expecting a white knight on a big charger to come along and take out the bad guys, and suddenly everything is going to be okay and they don't have to lift a finger. Well, folks, we could change the world very quickly, but it will take your participation. And for those who are really not willing to participate in any way, Well, unfortunately, you're probably not worth saving. And it pains me to have to say that, but that's really the way it is. Because there's enough information out there now, even those who are programmed, there's enough information out there that if you're aware of the situation, if you know what's going on in the world and you're still waiting for someone else to come and save you, then you're part of the problem, folks. If you know what's going on in the world and you're attempting to sell your ideas to other people or sell your land to other people or create an alternate community outside of this community and turn your back on this one, then you're running programs and you're part of the problem, because there's nothing this government would like more than for those people who are awake to run off and build alternate communities and turn their back on this society, because that will give this society free rein to destroy the planet that we all live on, because that's what it's doing. I think it's about time people woke up and started acting, because the world's in a bad state, folks, and it's in a bad state simply because people refuse to act. So I think it's about time we all got up and made a difference. You see, that's the thing, folks. We all want change, but no one's willing to participate. Or if they are willing to participate, it's always on their terms, and usually in a manner that is financially viable and very often financially profitable for themselves. And that isn't really making a difference, folks. That's simply profiting from the pain and suffering of others. And I believe that if you do good in the world, then good will come to you. I don't sell anything from the Crow House, folks. I don't sell any of my DVDs. I don't sell my book. I don't sell anything that I've ever done. I try to keep commerce out of it altogether. And you know why? The reason is because I believe in you. I believe in the people out there. And I believe in their ability to participate. I believe that they will. I believe that if you give, the world will give back to you. And I believe that we are all here to make a difference. We just have to remember that. And I'll never sell anything from the website. I'll never allow advertising on the website. I will never allow commerce to interfere with the flow of information. It's just not who I am. But I think it's break time here, folks, so I'll leave it there for now. Thank you for putting up with my ranting today, and I'll speak to you again in a few minutes. And welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Yes, so one of the biggest problems, really, that we face in the world today is the fact that everybody knows there's a problem, but everybody's waiting for someone else to fix it. Everybody's waiting for someone to flick a switch and suddenly the world will be made better for them. And they're all very keen for this to happen, just so long as they don't have to be the one who flicks the switch. Essentially, just as long as they don't actually have to participate in anything that's going to bring about some positive change. And really, it's only through the participation of the people that any change is actually going to happen. So it's a very interesting dichotomy we see in people's mentality. And the thing is that what keeps people from speaking out against the situation and keeps people from acting and going and flicking the switch themselves is fear. It's always fear. People are scared of the repercussions or scared of the consequences of speaking out, and so they just don't do so. And if we're not in fear of the consequences meted out to us by the powers that believe they be, then we are terrified of what our peers may think about us, what our friends may think, and what our parents and siblings may think of our attitude. So we tend to police ourselves into a position where we simply won't speak because we're terrified of what people might think of us if we were to show our real side to them. But really, folks, when you look at that whole scenario, what you find is that it comes about due to a distorted view of reality. Even the fact that we are terrified of what our peers may think about us. Well, I don't have that problem because I have no peers. I am unique. Even according to the system, I'm unique. That's something you can try in court, folks. If they tell you that you have to be judged by the laws of your peers, ask them if you can be identified by your DNA. And if they say yes, then say to them, well, then according to your own testimony, I'm unique and therefore have no peers. And so I speak out, folks, because I'm unique. I have no peers and I don't care what people think about me. If people think something about me, well, that's their issue. They're the ones that think it. Doesn't affect me. It doesn't worry me at all what people think. I mean, sure, I'd prefer people to like me, but if they choose not to, well, that's their issue. They'll have to deal with that. It isn't anything that I have to deal with because I don't see them, because they don't like me, so why would I see them? It's not my issue. It's not my reality. I mean, I like everybody. Even if they don't like me, I still like them. I mean, there's people out there in the truth movement that have issues with me, and though I consider them to be a little demented, I still love them. I don't have any problem with them. It's them that have the problem with me. And so that's their problem. It's not my problem. It's something that they have to deal with. And so it doesn't matter, folks, what people think of you, really. What matters is what's in your heart. What matters is what you choose to do with the time that's given to you, what energetic state you choose to be in, what legacy you choose to leave behind for future generations, what you do with the perspective that's given to you and what your perspective is when you leave the place, what perspective you have gathered during your time here, what attitude did you have, what sort of energy did you display, what sort of energy did you center yourself in. It's important to look at these things, folks, and it's important to ask yourself these questions. Are you operating from a state of integrity in all that you do? Are you leaving the world a better place because you were in it? Or are you leaving it a little bit more confused, a little bit more controlled, a little bit more degraded? Are you leaving it in a state of disrepair? Or have you made things better? And imagine, folks, imagine if reincarnation's true. Imagine if what you do in your life this time around actually affects the world that you create for the next time you come around. I mean, that could be an interesting thought, couldn't it? Imagine if what I do in the world today affects me the next time I come here. And in many ways, perhaps it could be seen that what you do here, you are leaving information for yourself to find next time around. And I imagine that if such a thing as reincarnation is true, then the next time I come into the world, I will undoubtedly be attracted to the works of Maxwell Egan because they will undoubtedly resonate with me. And so, therefore, I will be able to read those works, which means that through the actions that I've performed this time around, I will have effectively left myself a trail of breadcrumbs. And that's certainly an interesting thought, folks. It's an interesting concept, and it's certainly not altogether outside the realms of possibility. And you just never know about these things. But it's certainly an interesting concept, and it's something worth thinking about. It puts a whole new slant on why you need to be honest in your actions, though, doesn't it, folks? It really does. Imagine if the lies you tell in this life are going to affect you next time around, and you're going to come here, and you're going to have a terrible time. Because you're dealing with all these lies and all this misinformation. So you've really got to think about that. And it makes you want to act in integrity in all that you do and in all that you say, because you realize that that is the legacy you are leaving behind, not only for future generations, but quite possibly also for yourself. Puts a whole new slant on things, really, doesn't it? But the point here is, folks, that everything you do and everything you say and every action that you perform and every action by everybody, it's all connected. It's all connected to both the past and the present and the future. And it does shape the world that we live in. We shape it by our beliefs and by our actions. The problem is that half the time we are only participating in a passive manner. I mean, people would say this is all airy-fairy and I don't wish to participate in that type of reality. People would say they want to change the world, but they're not willing to participate in making that change happen. But they don't realize that they are already participating. They're participating by their inaction. We don't realize that even if we refuse to participate, we are still participating beneath the surface. Because our thoughts, our actions, our beliefs, the energies that we center ourselves in, all of these things are connected, and all of them affect reality. Of course, the present is affected by the past, and the actions of the present very much affect the future. One of the big problems, perhaps, is, of course, the fact that our past may be very much different to what we believe it to be, because it would appear that our past has been very much manipulated. And when we realize that it is our understanding of our history which causes the present to be the way it is, then you can see that a factual account of the past is imperative to have a viable present and therefore a viable future. Which actually reminds me of a great quote, one of my favorite quotes of all time, by George Orwell, who said that who controls the past controls the future, and who controls the present controls the past. Fantastic quote, folks, and very, very poignant because, as I've often said, we are shaped by our history. But the problem is that history is always written by the winners, and so you always need to look for the alternate history so you can view things from both sides and figure out what exactly did happen. Because I guarantee the first casualty in the writing of history by the winners is the truth. You know, there comes a time, folks, where people simply have to pay attention to the reality of these things. They have to pay attention to what's going on around them. Because, I mean, look at the world, folks. You can judge it by the past, or you can judge the politicians by the fact that they're in a corporate system, or you can come up with any excuse you want why the world is in the state it's in and why there's no good in you participating. But ultimately, there comes a time in life when you simply have to just stop, take stock, look around you, see what you're swimming in, and realize how easy it would be to change it if you simply changed your attitude and got involved. Because nobody's going to flick a switch, folks. The switch is consciousness, and it takes conscious participation by the people of this world to bring about any real effective change. The first step is to find yourself, to understand the power that you've got, but the second step is to put that into action. And the way you do that, folks, is you realize that this system is fiction. We made it up. It's just a paper-based reality. I know I've said it so many times. I've been trying to not repeat myself too much on the shows these days, but the reality is, folks, that we live in a paper-based world, a paper-based system. None of it's real. It all exists only on paper. The government isn't real. It only exists on paper. It's just populated by people. It's all just people, and all people have equal standing. Even if they're not born equal, they have equal standing. And just that realization alone is incredibly empowering, and that's how we change things. We realize what reality is. We realize what we are. We realize what reality is, and we look around and see what we're swimming in. Because frankly, I'm sick of these psychopathic rulers, folks. I'm sick of our psychopathic leaders. I'm sick of barefaced liars as politicians. I mean, look at Julia Gillard in Australia here. This woman has, against some pretty stiff competition, I might add, managed to emerge victorious as one of the biggest liars ever to exist on the face of this planet. She really is, folks. She's an absolute disgrace to humanity. She's a disgrace to her gender. She's a disgrace to herself. She is a completely self-serving sociopath, or dare I say psychopath, who does not give one hoot about anybody except herself. And yet people still put up with her. Obama, barefaced liar, wasn't even born in the United States. Birth certificate been proven to be a fraud. What's being done about it? Nothing, because the people won't stand up and do something about it. Because that's the only place change can come from, folks. You can't expect the politicians or the system to bring about any real change because it isn't designed to do that. It's designed to perpetuate criminality within government and to remove the rights and the possessions and the wealth from the people of the nations and enslave them to a system of permanent debt. That's what government is for. So don't expect politicians to investigate themselves and come up with anything that's going to work, folks, because it's not designed to do that. People say the system is dysfunctional, folks. It's not dysfunctional at all. It's actually working quite fine. It's actually working perfectly. It's actually doing exactly what it was designed to do. Because people only think the system is broken and dysfunctional because they don't realize that the system has been designed for one purpose and one purpose only, and that is to dispossess and enslave the people of the world. And so I would say that it's doing quite fine and that everything is chugging along exactly as planned. And that's why people have to address it, folks. That's why people have to get involved. That's why it's no good building alternate communities. I mean, look, you could build an alternate community and set yourself up as being self-sufficient. There's nothing wrong with doing that as long as you are still involved in this community. Because if you step away from it and you disconnect from it, then you are allowing it to run amok. You need to still participate in it, folks. You need to set yourself up as being self-sufficient, but then you need to challenge this community. Challenge authority in every single way that you can, because it's only by doing that that you're going to bring about positive change. People say, oh, no, 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 that's really going out on a limb. I'm not prepared to do that. I just want to set myself up and have nothing to do with the community. And folks, if you're thinking that way, you're doing it out of fear. You can't be fearful of this. It's time to step up to the plate. You've got to realize that there is a war going on here. It's a war against the people of the world, but it's a soft war. It's soft kill and soft manipulative methodologies that they're using. But it is a war, folks. There is a depopulation plan that's been carried out right now, right under the eyes of the people. It's been carried out right now by the powers that be, the powers that believe they be, against the people of the world, and the mechanism that's being used is government. Government control, government legislation, new bits of legislation all the time turn every step that you take outside of the lines into a crime so that they can populate their private prison system. Force the cost of living up so that you create criminals. That's what they're doing here in Australia, folks. It's almost impossible for a single mother to live with her children now. It's almost impossible for one person to get a place on their own. It's almost impossible to live just to keep your head above the cost of rents and utilities. And they're doing this so that more and more people get dispossessed, more and more people end up homeless. They end up in positions where they're having to commit crimes to survive, and therefore they get incarcerated into the system. This, of course, is anybody who thinks outside of the box, anybody who is not willing to participate in the system, anybody who wants to be self-sufficient. You can go and be self-sufficient, folks, but they'll end up putting your rates up so high and your water rates up so high and your electricity and everything else that you get that they'll get you somehow. They'll just get you later. And meanwhile, they've managed to get everybody else because you were too busy with your alternate community to have any time to notice what was happening to the community around you, which you had believed that you'd stepped away from. That's why, folks, if you're going to build an alternate community, do it within the community that you have, so then you can create ripples out and you can get other people involved. And if you're challenged by the authorities about building this alternate community or growing your own food or doing any of the things you're doing, then challenge them. Challenge them head on. Challenge them by understanding that it's a fictional system, that they're simply public trustees, and that there are mechanisms in place even within their system by which you can establish your freedom. But don't take a backward step to these people, folks, and don't think you're dealing with someone of authority, because the only one who has authority over you is your creator and yourself. That's it. End of list. Anybody else who presumes to be able to step in there, or they need to be able to show you proof of claim before they are able to exercise a right of ownership over you. And that's even according to their system. You just got to be prepared to stand in it, folks. And it's really getting to a head. You know, we can't run away from what's happening. We have to turn and face it, because it's running away from it that has caused it to be perpetuated for so long. We're always turning our back on problems, folks, and so we have to keep learning the problems. They just keep coming back a little bit worse until we are prepared to turn around and face it and to heal it so that we can move forward. And I think this is a crucial time in history, folks. I think this is the time that we do it. And I just implore everybody out there listening to this to realize that there is no leader. There is no one that's going to flick a switch. It has to be you. You have to get involved in your own life and create ripples in the community around you. And now's the time we have to do it, folks. Now more than ever. I mean, really, when you look at what's going on in the Middle East, look at what's happening in Syria, folks. Syria is a real flashpoint for New World Order control at the moment. And the posturing and threats against Iran, it's absolutely imperative that people get involved in this and start making noise about it, because Iran is a peaceful nation. Iran's openly stated they don't even want nuclear weapons. Now, the West has so many weapons of mass destruction, folks, and we are the only people who have ever used weapons of mass destruction against everybody else. We invented them, in fact, and then we gave the technology to everybody else so that we could create all of these enemies. And if the people of the West allow our corrupt governments to attack Iran, it will be one of the biggest injustices in the history of the world, folks. It really will. I mean, don't believe all the propaganda you're fed by our governments. All you've got to do is look at history. Just look at the last 60 years, folks. Somewhere between 270 and 300 conflicts, all instigated by our governments. All in the name of bringing peace to the world. All in the name of always screaming out that we were the victim. We went and attacked everybody else, and we reduced the world to the corporate nightmare that it currently is. And all this has happened due to the non-participation of the people. It really has, folks. I mean, we just swallow the propaganda that our television feeds us, and we don't participate. And when our governments go out and bomb some other innocent nation, we just nod our head in approval because we know it was okay for them to do that because it said so in the newspaper. And we do this having never gone there, having never experienced these people, and having been too caught up and too locked into this manipulative society that we call reality to even know what real people are. Because Western society doesn't live the way other societies do. There is no real community in Western society. There's the group of friends that we all have, but there's no real community. Whereas in other societies, they are still connected to each other, they're still connected to nature, they're still connected to the earth. And we come along, and in the name of freedom, we take all that away from them. We've got to start realizing the truth, folks, and the truth is that the West has been the aggressor in every single conflict that the West has been involved in since World War II. And actually, before World War II, it actually goes a lot further than that, but World War II is in living memory, so that's where we can start. But that's the truth, folks. The fact is that we're the aggressors, destroying the rest of the world, because the people of the West are too distracted and too fearful of ever reining their governments in and taking responsibility for their actions. As a society, we're just too ready and willing to believe what we're fed. And again, folks, you can't really blame people because they're trained to be that way. But what I'm hoping is that people are waking up to the training. People are waking up to what they're swimming in. People are beginning to question their surroundings a little bit. But of course, it's very incremental through society. It's always the lower levels of society that get discarded, and the top levels don't really notice what's going on because they've been trained to fear poverty. So they see a homeless person and they're actually in fear of that person. They don't ever think about what actually put them there, and they never consider the possibility that it may actually be climbing up the food chain and that it will eventually come for them. Because that's the way it happens, folks. It's a very incremental system designed to pick off the lower rungs first, but it keeps raising the bar so that eventually it picks off everybody. That's what it's designed to do, and it's a very, very clever and very, very functional system. So I don't know, folks, what do you think it will take? I often wonder what it will take. I see attempts to unify people, but I see people in fear of anything that may unify them. I see people always saying, yes, we need change. Yes, Max, we believe what you say, but why don't you provide us with some solutions? And folks, everything I've provided you with on the show today is a solution. Everything I've been saying to you for the last 5 years on the air is a solution. Because the solution is you. The solution is you to step into your heart, to know what you are, and to apply it to the world around you. And if that sounds airy-fairy and esoteric to you, then I don't know what to say, because that's what you have to do. And it's not esoteric and airy-fairy. You can't sit back there and expect anyone to lead you. You have to lead yourself. All of society has to lead itself, because that's the only way we'll ever find a way back. You know, if we could learn to have respect for each other, enough that we could actually stand in unity and stand in solidarity, we could change the world in 3 seconds. But generally speaking, society doesn't respect each other. And even a lot of the members of the alternate research community that attack everybody else all the time, these people don't respect each other because they don't respect themselves. They're too caught up in their own box of view of reality to ever think outside of that. They all see that their way is the only way, and it's like some sort of a God complex that they've got. And so they perpetuate the division, and they perpetuate the problem. And it isn't until people start to respect each other that we're actually going to make change. That's what's so clever about this system, folks. They train you to have ego. They train you to look down on people less fortunate than yourself. They train you to be divided. They train you to believe that you have to fight to survive and that you have to claw your way to the top. It's okay to profit from everybody, and it's all about the one with the most wins. They instill this whole mentality into people solely to perpetuate division. And the freaky part about it is that people just buy into it so readily. They really do. And ultimately, folks, it doesn't matter how much you own or what you've got, what your possessions are. I know rich people that have got everything they could ever want, and they're miserable. They're miserable because they don't have themselves. They were thinking that if they got all this stuff, they'd be happy. They'd suddenly magically find themselves and that their whole life would be just what they pictured it to be. It's just that they never really knew what they were picturing. They were picturing some idea the television had given them or something that they'd seen in a magazine, some rung on the social ladder that society had taught them they had to get to. But when they got there, they were devoid of themselves. They realized that all the possessions don't mean anything. And ultimately, anything external to yourself doesn't mean anything to you, doesn't mean anything to who and what you are. And it's who and what you are that is the important thing. Ah, what a tangled web we weave, folks. What a tangled web we find ourselves caught in. But then again, knowing the problem gives you the opportunity for solution, folks. And so that's what we have to do. We have to find the solutions. And I truly believe the solution comes from people's personal perspective. It comes from people changing their perspective and being prepared to stand in the power that their creator gave them. And really, folks, it's only fear-based mind control that prevents people from doing this. It's that fear that's always there in the back of our thoughts, the fear that is put there by the predator mind. But really, there's nothing to fear because you are born the same as everybody else. It's just that you forgot that. But that's what I think we're waking up to now, folks. And I think that's what this year, this next 12 months, is actually going to bring. I think we're in for some big changes, folks. Look what's just happened in Greece with the elections. They just elected a comedian. And I think that is fantastic. Look what's happened in Cyprus. They just said, no, we're not going to pay your debt. Sorry. People are waking up, folks. Whole countries are waking up. And I think it's about time we followed suit. You know, I think when we look back in history, folks, the latter part of the 20th century and the early part of the 21st century are going to be seen as times of some of the most pivotal events in history. They're going to be seen as a time when humanity truly did free itself from the Dark Ages. Because I think that when future generations look back at this time and they consider the Dark Ages, then we will be part of the Dark Ages. I believe the 20th century most certainly will be seen as part of the Dark Ages. I don't think any real renaissance has happened yet, but I think that we are on the verge of creating such a reality right now. And that's why it's such an exciting time to be alive and why it is so important for people to get involved. And really, folks, what you've got to get involved in is yourself. Because when you find that and truly find that, then you get involved in the world around you by default because you realize the importance of you doing so. Look, I think we're here at the end of the show now, folks. It's been lovely to talk to you today, probably a little bit different to some of my normal shows. I suppose I've been ranting a little bit. It must be the ugly commercialization of Easter that I see around me and the recent posturing against Iran that has really motivated me to have a little bit of an emotional show today. And so if I said anything that you totally disagree with, well, that's the way it is. But I put it all out there on the line today, folks. I meant every word of it. That's how I feel about religion. I think it's a blight on human consciousness, all religion. I really do. I see that it serves no purpose. I think that there are much, much better ways of doing things. And the good parts of religion simply tell you that which you already know anyway. It's that which exists within your heart. It's just that many people have forgotten to look there. And I really do believe the world is in a time of crisis and that your participation is required. And so that's why I did the show that I did today. But it has been a pleasure speaking to you again today. Thank you to anybody who's ever helped with the website. It's very much appreciated and very needed. But that is it for me, folks. I will look forward to spending some time with you again next week. Please take very good care until then. In Lakesh.